Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop here, you will avail nothing. Many will, while hoping and desiring to be Christians, they do not come to the point of yielding the will. They do not now choose to serve Him. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up the will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast. And thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Steps to Christ, page 47, paragraphs 1 and 2, page 48, paragraph 1. God is good? Ah, come on. Give God a better performance than that. God is good? Ah, and all the time. Let me take out the word performance. Let me replace it with active worship. Let me try it again. God is good? And all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. Has he been able to say yes or no?
Yes.
I just want to kneel, and just with tears coming down my eye, and just tell him I don't deserve to be where I am. But thank you for all the suffering you endured. Thank you for the humiliation of taking human form. Even if Christ had taken human form like Adam was before he sinned, it would have been a humiliation. But he took it when we had fallen. I just want to thank him. And just thank him. And then from, just look at him. That's Jesus. My personal Savior. I love God. How many of you love God? I love God. As I like to say, He is a nice person. I told you last week, all my problems I have brought on myself. All my blessings have come from God. And let heaven and earth bear witness that I say, God has never done me anything wrong. I have never had a good reason to be angry with God. Never. And I thank God for being God, and I love Him, and I will try my best to present His Word in a manner that glorifies Him. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we come to You at the invitation of Your Son. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest we need, Father, is the rest from sin, the rest from anxiety, the rest from worry, the rest from uncertainty, We come to you, dear God, and we ask you to stretch your elastic hands and wrap us all to your bosom. Remove from us all that is unlike you. Forgive our sins, dear God. You love to forgive, and you hold no grudges. Grant us a measure of your Spirit, for without him we will guide ourselves into error. But your Spirit, working in us, will lead us in the path of truth. I humble myself before you, dear God, and I ask for mercy as I attempt in my human strength and with your Spirit to represent you aright. Put your words in my mouth, your thoughts in my mind, the humility of Christ in my heart. Bless everyone listening, dear God. Bless those online, wherever they are around this world. We thank you, Father, for the technology that allows someone to stand in Greenville, Tennessee, and talk to people in Kenya, or Saudi Arabia, or China, or Sweden. Father, if anyone listening to me has contracted COVID-19, in the merciful name of Jesus, a name you never resist, heal that person, dear God, please. Whatever other aches and pains your people may have, give them relief. Because Christ feels what we feel. Pronounce a special blessing, dear God. Pour out a special blessing on the young boys, the young girls who listen, especially children. And Father, for our guests, grant them a sweet blessing, I pray. Thank you for freedom of worship in this country. We know it won't last, but we thank you we still have it. Help us to do all we can while we have it. Now, dear God, bless the leadership of this country. Remind them that righteousness exalteth a nation. And I pray the same for leaders of all countries represented by those listening. Thank you for the honor of speaking for you. Use me as you see fit, God. I will not resist. A double blessing on all the youth from Southern University. Bless them, dear God. Let them commit their education to your glory. Bless the families that sacrifice so much to keep them in school. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, reading verse 8. Matthew, the very first gospel, the 40th book of the 66. Chapter 5, verse 8. All right, part of the Sermon on the Mount, the most powerful sermon ever preached. I read it, I don't see what is so scholarly about it, but in the eyes of God, it is scholarly, it is heavy, it is deep. By modern standards, it may not be. Here's a part of that sermon, verse 8 of Matthew 5. What does that say? Blessed are the pure in heart. Not the pure in elbows or kneecaps. Or spine, or fingers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Finish the verse. They shall see God. Let's go to Matthew 6. We read from verse 19. Matthew 6, reading from verse 19. You have it? What does that say? Lay not up for yourselves what? Treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Finish that passage. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now who said that? If your treasure, that which is most valuable to you, is on earth, that's where your heart will be. Regardless of what you may say with your mouth. Because you cannot contradict successfully the declaration of Jesus Christ. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be, or your mind, or your focus. Which means the intelligent child of God will choose as his or her greatest value or possession something above, meaning something spiritual, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ and his word and service to Christ. If that's our greatest treasure, our hearts will be in heaven. Paul said, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Set your affections on things above. Not on the Dallas Cowboys. And with great respect, the Tennessee Titans. Or the Grand Ole Opry. Set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Go to Psalm 51. A very, very powerful psalm. A psalm of confession. Humility. This is David confessing his tremendous sin. Terrible sin, I should say. Psalm 51. Listen to what he says in verse 10 of Psalm 51. Our subject, invitation begins with in. Do you have Psalm 51 verse 10? You know it without looking. What does it say? Create in me what? A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Where is the heart of a person? On the inside. Where is the spirit of a person? On the inside. David prayed, create a new one. Someone having lost both legs and both arms can pray, create in me a clean heart. Are you with me? That's what God cleanses, not the limbs. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. We're in a good time. Please don't worry. You realize this is the second day of the second week of this series of meetings. Time flies quickly. Keep coming, keep coming. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. You know it very well. Do you have it? Not yet. Read with me. A new what? Heart. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I do what? Wait a minute, I'll read it again. A new spirit will I do what? Put where? Within. No, that's fine so far. Thanks for your eagerness. God bless you. Within. I'll put that spirit or a heart. The same thing. Controlled by God. Now, and I will do what? Take away what? The stony heart. Now, where does it come out of? Inside. And so there's a removing and a replacing. Did I say that clearly? Yeah. Inside. A man is not because he has big biceps. Or he has two fists. Or a woman, for that matter. A person is violent because of this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. This brings to mind something immediately. It's quite embarrassing, but it's in a good way. I cannot give myself like God says, I'll do it. I said that too quickly. Let me slow down. Whatever God does for us, it is because we cannot do it for ourselves. Now, I can change suits. I cannot change my heart. I can change shoes. I cannot change what is within, but I can ask someone to do it. Somebody say, amen. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. Let's go to 27. Rejoice at the words. Keep reading. Put my spirit within you and cause you. Stop. Okay, keep reading. And cause you to do what? Walk in my... And ye shall keep my... God said, I will cause you to walk in my statute. Put that in the Dreamville version. I will cause you to obey. Then obedience that pleases God is only possible with divine help. People in prison comply. They don't obey. Are you with me? Inmates in prison comply. Christians are called upon to obey. Christ's Object Lessons, page 97, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes, "The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely, because he's required to do so, will never enter into the joy of obedience. He does not obey. When the requirements of God are accounted a burden because they cut across human inclination, we may know that the life is not a Christian life. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. The essence of all righteousness is loyalty to our Redeemer. This will lead us to do right because it is right, because right doing is pleasing to God. This is only possible if God changes the heart. Because right doing is not an expression of the limbs, it is an expression of the heart." And so we've talked about the heart. Something on the inside. And our subject is, invitation begins with in. Go to John chapter 14. Listen to Christ praying or talking to the disciples and telling them what he will pray for. John 14, we'll read from verse 16. What did I say, John? What verse? What chapter? 14, verse 16. Let me pray again. Father in heaven, as I continue to speak to your people, tighten your control of me, all of me, God. I give you complete control over me. Now use me the way a musician uses an instrument. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to Jesus, and I will pray. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. Now read with me. For he dwelleth, come on, and shall be healed. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now Jesus says, he dwelleth with you, yes, and shall be in you. Now, you and I have an advantage Peter and John and Thomas did not have. Jesus was with them, but he was not in them. But Jesus said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he'll be where? In you. Now, whom does the Holy Spirit represent? Jesus. So when the Spirit is in you, who is in you? Effectively, Jesus. Let me say it again. We have an advantage the disciples who walked with him did not have. Christ was with them. They bumped up against him. Through the Spirit, Jesus Christ is in us. I need not explain how it happens. That's not my burden. I have to believe. And if Christ is within, here's the principle that operates, whether he's in or out. If the devil is within, the same principle functions. When Christ is within, the principle functions. And may God continue to bless you as you listen and as you pray for me. We praise God for technology. What book did I say? What chapter? 12. Reading for what verse? 34. No, I didn't say. 34. God bless all the children in the church. I really mean that. I love to see little children in church. Oh, by the way, before I read Matthew 12:34, earlier this week, I should have brought it, a young boy came to me and he drew me while I was preaching. He drew me, and he brought it to me. So he must have been doing something, paying attention, if not to my words, my expressions, but he drew me, and I have it, I'll take it with me. I'll keep it all the days of my life to see what I really look like. Okay, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Do you have that? Read with me. O generation of vipers, being evil, speak good things. Finish the verse. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of. That flow. In what direction is that flow? Well, we have scholars from Southern. Let's not embarrass ourselves. From what direction is that flow from? From the inside out. Read the Bible microscopically. Read the verse again. You read, I listen to you. O generation of vipers. Come on, read. King James Version. Yes. Now, where have we located the heart? In Israel. Now, the verse says, out of the abundance of this thing, the mouth, what's the direction of travel? From the inside? Now, keep this in mind. Go with me to Mark, shortest gospel. It's a very rushed gospel. Immediately in the gospel of Mark, a rushed gospel. We'll read chapter 7 from verse 20. What's our subject? You have Mark 7, reading from verse 20. When I speak too quickly, what are you supposed to say? Why don't you do it? You see me rushing, why don't you do it? I thought you loved me a little bit. All right. Mark 7, let's read from verse 20. Do you have that? Let me pray again. Father, continue to be with me, God. Strangle my carnal nature into submission. And let your will and your glory be my only object. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Read for me, what does verse 20 say? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, come on, that defileth the man. Stop. Think. What direction is Jesus expressing? Come on, talk to me clearly. Inside out. Is that clear? Listen again. That which cometh out of a man, finish the verse, that defileth the man. Not what goes in. Let me ease your uncertainties. Let me carefully use this illustration. Let's take a pork chop. Are you with me? You should all be frowning when I said pork chop. Why do you look so happy? Let's take a pork chop. And an Adventist eats it. Did the pork chop defile him spiritually? When did the defilement begin? When he decided, or she, to disobey the Bible's instructions regarding dietary practices. Are you following me? That's where the defilement came from. Did God make horses? Why do you hesitate? Did God make horses?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's pick a nice animal. Horses are nice. Did God make cows?
Yes.
Well, let's pick another one. Did God make a donkey?
Yes.
Did Jesus ride on one? Are we supposed to eat them?
No.
Is there any sin in a donkey? No. Where does the sin come from? Here. And so if I eat contrary to the Bible's recommendations, I have disobeyed here. Go to Matthew. We'll come back to Mark 7. Go to Matthew 5. We read 27 and 28. Our subject, invitation, begins with in. It is 12 o'clock on the dot. We have 30 minutes left. Hopefully. What book did I say? Verse 27. Well, just 27. We won't go to 28. Are you there? Read with me. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt what? Not commit adultery. Keep reading. But I say unto you, what? That whosoever looketh on a woman, come on, to lust after her, finish that passage, hath committed adultery already with her, where? In his heart. Or her heart. Where's the defilement? It merely finds expression through the body. The defilement is here. Let me ask you this. I speak with respect. Can a quadriplegic commit adultery? Yes. Yes. How? In his head. Here comes a nice shapely nurse and bam. You need to understand God's standard of righteousness are high. You don't go to jail in Tennessee for lusting after a woman. How will the police not ticket you for that? But God will arrest you for that. God's standard of holiness is high. That's why we need his help. And so adultery can be committed over here. All sins, that's where they begin, not in the hands or the rest of the body. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 7. 20, and we'll read on. Mark 7 from verse 20, our subject, invitation begins with in. Are you there? Read with me. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from, come on, from what? Within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Finish that verse, 23, I believe it is. All these what? Evil things come from? Now when Jesus said all, that list was not final. They all come from within, and they defile the man. Now, when the Bible says come from within, what is within? Are we referring to the kidneys? The liver? What? The heart. That organ that symbolizes the mind. This. And so David prayed because he had committed adultery. Create in me new reproductive organs. Is that what he prayed? Create in me a new, clean heart. Renew your right spirit. Now, go now back to me. Look at the principle I said that applies to God and to Satan, to right and to wrong, to evil and to holiness. Matthew 12, 34. And we'll include 35. In, the invitation begins with in. Are you at Matthew 12? Still hear some pages turning, and that's fine. There's a lovely sound in the house of God. God bless you, my brother, for helping that little angel find the book. Thank you for that. I really mean that from my heart. Teach your children how to worship. To be seated with you for that to happen. It can't happen if they're running around the parking lot while you're sitting there looking like the high priest. Teach your children how to worship. God bless my little sister. Now listen to Matthew 12, verse 34. Read with me. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the mouth speaketh. Now, we've already dealt with that. Now, listen to 35. A good man out of the... Stop. Think with me. Why is he good? Because of what is inside. And what is inside, he did not manufacture. It's Christ within. A good man, out of a good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth what? Good things. Keep reading. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth? Evil. You remember what Jesus said? A good tree cannot do what? Bring forth evil fruit. Or corrupt. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And if the fruit is evil, the heart is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, tell me, the mouth speaketh, the hands act, the feet act, everything physical acts. They're under control of the heart, which is the poetic reference to the mind. Then, with this understanding, we can more intelligently grasp what the Bible means when it says, this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will do what? Where? In their heart. And the spirit is in the inward parts, effectively the same thing. I will write my law in their hearts. Because that's where everything comes from now. Are you with me? There is nothing else God writes but the law. He does not write the church manual. You look so young. Can you handle this? You look so innocent. A truly converted church does not need a church manual. What did I say? Truly converted. But don't get rid of yours. Because we're not yet. Come on, talk to me. Truly converted. He writes the law in our hearts. But have you observed? When we read Ezekiel 36:26, God said, a new spirit also will I give you. And why? What did I say when we got to that verse? Why is God giving it? Because we can. Now listen to a new, I will write my law in their heart. Why does God have to write it? Because we cannot write it. We do not want to write it. There is nothing else God puts in the heart of a person but His law. Because the law expresses the very righteousness of God. Love. But love must be expressed. Are you following me? An idle love is no love. Love must be expressed. How is it expressed? Make sure I'm your only God. How is it expressed? Please don't make images. How is it expressed? Don't take my name in vain. How is it expressed? Keep the Sabbath. You are loving when you keep the Sabbath. Are you following me? You're loving God. You're loving God when you avoid images. You're loving God when you don't take His name in vain. You're loving God through your neighbor by not stealing. Love must be expressed. It is God that writes His law on our hearts. It would do us good to stop asking God for a while for money, and of course remember last night what I suggested to you. But as a normal way of life, we ask God for all kinds of things. Ask God to write His law on the heart. All right, let me quiz you. In what direction does Wait a minute. This side. From what direction does uncleanness or sin flow? From the inside out. That side. Are they right?
Yes.
For what now? From what direction does righteousness flow? Not from the outside in, from the inside out. Once Christ is in your life. Yes, He comes in, so that's the direction, yes. But once He's in you, it is from the inside out. Why? A good man out of the good treasure. I must state this again because of what I'm about to tell you. Righteousness flows from the heart. Sin, iniquity, uncleanness goes from the inside out. And so Jesus says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. If that's clear, say amen. Now go to Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1. What's our subject? Invitation begins with in. And I will invite you to invite Christ to come in. Not to come and stand next to you. In. Leviticus 1. Let's read from verse 1. And the Lord God called unto Moses, and speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now read verse 4 with me. Come on, what does that say? And he shall what? Put his hand where? Upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement. Now, this symbolizes the transfer of what? Sins. Go to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. This chapter deals entirely with the Day of Atonement. Let's read from verse 20 of Leviticus 16. Our subject, invitation, begins with in. Do you have Leviticus 16? Let's read from verse 20. When you found it, say amen. Now if you have my version, read with me. And when he hath made an end of doing what? Reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Let me pause and clarify something for you. Whom does the live goat represent? Satan. As is it, Satan. Mm-hmm. There are some Christian groups who say that Adventists believe that Satan carries our sins. No. Listen to the verse. When he hath made an end of reconciling what? The holy place. Come on. And the? When all atonement is finished. Are you following me? The holy place, altar in the reverse, or of course Christ dies, the outer court. You know, he ministers in the holy place, and then the investigative judgment in the most holy. The Bible is clear. When all of that is done, then the high priest brings the live goat. Now read verse 21. What does that say? And he shall do what? Place his hands upon what? The head of the? And shall do what? Confess over him all the sins, iniquities, transgressions of the people. Now, I showed you that to take you back to Leviticus 1 verse 4. Let's go back to chapter 1. We see that laying on of hand is an act of confessing, transfer. From Leviticus 16, 20, 21. We go back to Leviticus 1 verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. What is that sinner doing? Symbolically transferring his sin now. Stay with me. Who is symbolized by the animal? Don't take so long. Come on. Who is symbolized by the animal? Christ is a sacrifice. The sinner brings a sacrifice. We must bring Christ. This is no joke. Bring Christ when you go to God. Bring him. As barely as that sinner brought an animal, bring Christ, but bring him in here. Bring him when you come to talk to God, because God can only bless you because of Christ. Here's the sinner, his hand on the head of that animal representing Jesus, the sacrifice to come, and he transfers his sin. Verse 2, he shall bring a lamb without blemish. What does that mean? Give me another word. Sinless. The animal must be sinless. It represents the sinless Christ. Here's the sinner now, confessing all his iniquity and impurities on that animal. Are you following me? In what direction are all those sins traveling? But with respect to the animal, come on, talk to me. With respect to the animal, in what directions are those sins traveling? From the outside, in. Who is the animal? Christ. Did he bear our sins in his own body on the tree? 1 Peter 2:24. Yes. Now, is the animal now contaminated by those sins? No. Then you're telling me that Christ is what? Contaminated. Think with me. In what direction does uncleanness flow? From the inside out. Look at the lamb. Is there any uncleanness flowing from the lamb from the inside out? How is the uncleanness flowing? From the outside in, which means the lamb can receive the uncleanness from the outside in and remain undefiled, because uncleanness does not go from the outside in. So Christ can take our sins and remain sinless. Because uncleanness travels from the inside out. That's a good time to pray for me now. This is a serious matter. Christ bore our sins in his own body. Almost like a biological statement from Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. So Christ didn't pretend to take our sins. He took our sins into himself, not just on. But because uncleanness goes from the inside out, Christ can take our sins and remain, come on, say it, sinless. Because God will not accept a contaminated offering. Now, what does that have to do with you and me at 17 minutes after 12? We have to stop the flow of uncleanness from where? Come on. We have, in an individualized this presentation, we have to stop the flow of uncleanness from where? Inside. We have to stop it. I've said this many times, I guess I'll say it many more times. Christ has delayed his coming not because of what the Illuminati are doing. The Bible doesn't say in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel is preached, and when the Illuminati have done this or this, then Christ shall come. No, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Now who is charged with the gospel? God's remnant people. I'm very specific. God's remnant people, not every church on the face of the earth. We have to cleanse this fountain. Not we have to. We have to get it cleansed. And the person to cleanse it is sinless. It must be stopped not from the outside. When you understand that, you stop blaming the outside. You don't blame your wife, your husband, the pastor, the conference president, the government. You don't blame because you realize the problem is internal. I am not stingy because I was brought up under very difficult circumstances and had to fight for every scrap of bread. I am stingy because my heart is stingy. We have to invite Christ to come in. There are many people in the church who have been faithful members for years, but Christ has not abode in their hearts. But faithful members. Don't look so depressed. I'm trying to open your eyes. We must invite Christ to come in. When he's in, truly in, what will flow out? His life. What is his life? Give me a longer word. Righteousness. Can you still make a mistake? Yes. But will sin dominate the life? No. When the sinner brought the animal to the priest, and I told you that I believe early in the week, the repetition is good. The priest did not examine the sinner. What did the priest examine? The animal. The animal, the sinner is already saying, I am hopeless, I have no hope, this is my hope, Jesus is my hope. And the sinner says that in his sinful condition, Jesus is my hope. To break this pornographic habit, to break this drinking habit, this whatever. He's my hope. And you take Jesus and you bring him to God. And God examines Jesus. And does not find a spot or a blemish. And God accepts the spotlessness of Christ in your place. The gospel is so good we try to water it down. It's too good to be true. We humanize the gospel and water it down. God accepts Christ in your place. But you and Christ must be in the same place. You can't be standing over here and Jesus over there, and Christ, God accepts Christ in your place. There are two different places. You and Christ must be one. On your side, because Christ and the Father are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. When you're one with Christ, you're one with the Father. We must invite Christ to come in. It is the presence of Christ alone that will change the content of the heart. So instead of a polluted stream, outflows a pure stream as clear as crystal. The life of Christ lived out. And this is the miracle of God that exceeds all other miracles, including the raising of Lazarus. How can the life of Christ be lived out in someone who still has the carnal nature? Because the carnal nature has been crucified. By that I mean its dominance, its reign, it has been dethroned. The sinner with Christ has carried out a coup, overthrown that government. Now Christ reigns. Invite him to do that. It is not enough to be a church member. You must be a child of God. Remember, said, "Heirs of Lot. They bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Which of those is a crime? None of them. Lost. Or in the days of Noah, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Lost. No man can be lost while holding on to Jesus. Because God has to destroy Jesus too. Are you following me? Are you not with me? If you're holding on to Christ, God can't destroy you. Because he has to destroy Jesus. The reason why we're destroyed, we hold on to sin. Here's how I represent it. God has a high-powered rifle to destroy sin. That's his judgment. He has to do it. And he points the rifle at sin. Now you're standing right with sin. You're in the line of fire. Are you with me? God sent Jesus to tell you what? Move. Come on, yes. I'm talking to myself. God sent Jesus to say, move. Out of the line of fire. Because God must pull the trigger of judgment on sin. He must. He pointed it at Jesus on Calvary. God made him to be a curse for us. So you don't have to suffer that judgment. Get out of the line of fire. Invite Christ to come in. All the way in. And I love going to East Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, those places. They speak Swahili. And there's an expression, it says Hodi, which means you're knocking. Anyone in? Hodi. And someone says Karibu on the inside, means come in. But there's an expression which is Karibu Mpaka Ndani, which is come in all the way in. Not just in the front doors. All the way in. Karibu Mpaka Ndani. Come all the way in. That's how we invite Jesus Christ. All the way in. So as Christ says, Hodi, you don't have to say the expression. Come all the way in, Jesus. All the way in. Revelation 3 verse 20. Don't go there, say it with me. Behold, I stand, come on, at the door and if any man hear my voice and open the door. Finish the verse. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The window. Are you following me? On the inside. The reason why we have so many struggles spiritually, Christ is standing next to us. Finish my words. Not in us. He's standing next to us. And we prove that by the way we dress. And our regularity at service. And our offering envelope. But we don't prove it without victory over sin. Are you with me? God bless that lady. Keep her forever young. He's standing next to us. That makes you decent. Not saved. Do you not understand when Christ comes, this body will change? The only thing that doesn't change is the Christ-like character. Invitation begins with in. How does iniquity and sin flow? In what direction? The inside out. Where must we have Christ? On the inside, so that His life flows from the inside out. How many of you, let me talk to the men. Ladies, you may eavesdrop, I'm talking to the men. Men, I want you to be men. Not just males. A lot of males are not men. I want you to be a man. How many men will say, Jesus, come into my heart? How many men will say that? Men, stand up with me. I'm saying, stand up, men. By men, I mean little men too, like who, 12 and 11. You're little men, come stand up. Jesus had 12 disciples. He chose 12 men. 12 tribes, 12 men. What the world needs, the greatest want of the world, is the want of men. Whose manhood has nothing to do with the size of the muscles. But the degree of surrender to Jesus. There wasn't a stronger man on the earth than Jesus Christ. Samson couldn't come close. Ladies, how many of you will say, Jesus, come into my heart. Stand up with me. Ladies. And little ladies. Now I want you to mean it. As you stand, having made this surrender, how many of you will say, Father, I need to make a decision to be baptized someday. Someday. Or, I have realized I need to resume my walk with God and be rebaptized. I realize for the 20 years or 25, Jesus has been next to me, but not in me. I want to start again. And with Christ in me, get it right. Who needs to make a decision first to be baptized? You've not yet made it, you need to make it. Or you've already made it, you want to confirm it. Can I see your hand? A decision to be baptized. Okay, I see that hand. I need someone with a pen and paper. Quick. This is very serious. And heaven is watching to see how we respond. I want pen and paper. Get these names. I want the names given to me that I can pray. All right. Keep your hand up. There's a sister back here. Yes. Decision for baptism. Right back here. If more people write, my brother, God bless you. There's a sister right next to you. There's my good brother back there. Where are the hands? All right. Baptism. This is my lovely sister right here. Get these names. And I want a copy of the name so I can pray for you every day. You can take your hand down, sister. We saw it. Now, someone needs to say, Father, I feel deeply convicted to be rebaptized. You may be online. Still make that response. I need to be rebaptized. As I was speaking to a retired minister who was with me in South Korea, and he said, in the middle of his ministry, he chose to be rebaptized because he realized his life had been a flat line. But of course, spiritually, you either go this way or that way. So he was actually going this way, but very politely. Then he said, I need to be rebaptized. They said, what have you done? He said, nothing. I just need to be rebaptized. I realize I have not grown in 20 whatever. The president said, we'll baptize you at night. He said, no, in front of my church, because others need to make the same decision. And this preacher was baptized, rebaptized. Someone needs to be rebaptized. If you feel that conviction, can I see your hand? Yes. Somebody else. You need to do that. Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2. When a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. Get that name. The same applies to you online. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came across 12 disciples who lacked significant information. When Paul gave it to them, they were all. Some of you are thinking, think prayerfully and let God move you to the point of a decision for Him. invitation begins within. We've stood to say, Lord, come in. Not just next to me, that's too far. Come in. Online, make those decisions. Head bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the invitation. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. Come unto me, all ye that labor, Matthew 11:28. The Spirit will be in you, John 14:17. Dear God, we're asking you as a people and as individuals, come into us, dear God, in and take control. Guide our thinking, our speaking, our behaving. Let us live with the biblical consciousness that uncleanness flows from the outside, from the inside out. And we want a clean stream. And the only clean stream is the stream of the righteousness of the life of Christ. Oh, Lord, help us also to remember that our Savior, even though he took our sins, he remained sinless. Because no iniquity flowed from him. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this building online. Bless them, God. Bless them. Let them feel that blessing. Give us all a consciousness of the serious times in which we live. Let us lay aside complacency, lay it aside, and take on an atmosphere of emergency because the end is near. Bless all those who are guests, continue to work on their lives, hasten the day when they will be one of us. As we leave, God, let the Spirit keep the message on the mind. Invitation begins within. Bring us back tonight. Let us make sacrifices to be here tonight. When that day comes and you return, and you are coming, save every person under the sound of my voice. In this building, save their family members and those online. I pray for my heart, dear God. In Jesus' name, let God's people say with me, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.